This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, and welcome to a new episode of the Burning Question series by Fantasy Football Scout. In this series, Harry and I, Sonaldo, talk about the key hot topics for the week. Harry, how are you doing, my friend?
Good. FPL coming at us thick and fast. Nice to have another deadline, more football to watch this evening. So I'm good. Nice to be back.
It's nice to be back, guys. Today, we have a fast turnaround. The deadline is in, approximately, 7 hours. So not too far away. I'm not sure how many people will be able to listen in time. Hopefully, we're of some help today, but I just want to say we're going to do a more deadline stream style Q&A, talk about our teams and really tackle on the big question of how to bring in Salah and what permutations there are in bringing him in. So that's kind of the goal for today, and we're going to try to keep it short so that people can listen in time. So that's the agenda. Harry, anything to add?
No, just so much to there's so much good content out there that we will try and do our best to keep it as short as possible. We'll do a little bit of a Q&A at the end as well, because a lot of things are becoming very team specific again.
Yeah, agree. Came here to see Andy so he can convince me not to sell Son to Salah. Beautiful, beautiful. I am here today. Just to kick it off, let's quickly talk about our team and team status, because I think it's important to sort of lay out the foundation as we delve into what we're going to do, because I think we're both sort of going in different directions, potentially similar directions. But look, man, you had a massive Gordon haul that it should have been with a red card. But you had a pretty good week, at least better than mine. Tell me about your team.
I think this the same team twice.
You're right. Go ahead with your team.
I'll talk with my team. Yeah, so it ended up being okay, actually. I got 67. I was hoping that Trippier would start going into the deadline. He turned up at St. James's just before the deadline, so I decided to keep him, which actually worked out for me because I got Gabriel off my bench there. I was not expecting any points from him. Son, captain with a 20. I think we were quite lucky. I mean, I know he missed that shot where he hit it off both posts, but to see Salah get the amount of shots and chances that he did and not come away with more felt pretty good. Palmer 15, Gordon 8. That Palmer haul was an absolute roller coaster. He got 3 assists, a yellow card, so I thought he was one away from a suspension. Then he got suspended and sent off. So Solanke with a 7 as well was nice. Decided to keep him. The Watkins injury actually made my life a little bit easier, because selling Watkins when he's fully fit is a difficult thing to do, right? But seeing him yellow flag made it a little bit more straightforward to go and sell him this week, which is part of the transfers that I have already made this week. So 67 gave me a green arrow up to 14K. Unfortunately, I am no longer 14K because I've taken a hit, and there might be another hit before the deadline, because I have Areola flagged, Gusto flagged, Trippier was flagged, Watkins flagged, Doughty flagged, Gordon flagged. So Yeah. It's a good week, but unfortunately, the green arrow has been ruled out because of the hits. I think I got a 4-point green arrow. I went up four points worth of places. So that has basically just been done over. But with so many people on the wild card this week, to get a green arrow or a flat arrow after I've taken the hit this week doesn't feel too bad. How about yours?
Yeah, I think you had a pretty decent week. The difference between you and I, you had 67. It's basically the Gordon, right? And Richarlison, yeah. I was kind of hoping he would come off, not come off the bench, but start and potentially deliver, because I think it was a risk worth taking in hindsight. It is still Luton. I had kind of hopes that he might start, but maybe in hindsight, I should have assumed that he'd be protected in terms of, you know, him coming back straight into the fold. You know, I put out a tweet yesterday, Harry, where it was like quite an honest, transparent, how I feel type of tweet, where, you know, I just have not been too happy with my team recently. And what I mean by this is that I feel like I'm doing all the right things, bringing in the right players according to my chip strategy, but nothing too exciting in my team. And maybe it is the word template, and template for a reason, right? Because these players are delivering and these players are make sense to bring into our teams. But I do feel like Game Week 31 is when we can get a little bit spicy with our picks, potentially. And also there's going to be some wild carders going in different directions, this and that. So I am hoping to make a push at this point in time. I just want to speak about rank a little bit. And Harry, the last 3 years, I've always come down to the wire in terms of being really close to breaking into the top 10K, right? I did get in, I think, two seasons ago, yeah. I finished around 15K. Last season, 35K. But again, both seasons in the past two came down to the last two game weeks. And, you know, one or two different players here and there made the difference. So I love this time of year. I feel like if you're in a position, whatever your goals are, whether it be top 10K, top 50K, it changes, right? Because not every year can we can guarantee that we'll be around the top 10K range. But mm-hmm. at least I feel like I'm right there. But I do think that being 35K, and I don't know how many points I am away, I don't want to calculate it that way, it's still going to be important to make the right moves. And yeah, I'm a little worried that 35 onwards is going to be just as clustered as it is now. But I want to know your thoughts just in general.
Yeah, I have to say, I think the top 10K is such a spoken about target that so many of us will fail at it every year. Yeah. And it is a great target to have, that if you get it, like, it's fantastic. But to miss out on it doesn't mean you've had a bad season. To be 35K in the world with how competitive FPL is now is definitely a good place to be. I do think that game week 35 to 38 will be more spread out than you think it will. Okay. There are enough differential picks that can change it. If we look at, like, the amount of people in those ranks that have used certain chips as well, all of those people, it is difficult. It will be more difficult for them than it will for you with your wild card and your bench boost left, right? So if I get top 10K chip usage, almost half of the top 10K have used their wild card now. Mm-hmm. So 40%, and that'll probably go up another 10% this week. Almost all triple captains and free hits have gone. So you are in a better place after this week. So to be honest, it's kind of, in my eyes, I look at between now and game week 35 as I just want to hold my rank.
Yeah.
I want to be in and about the, you know, top 20K, top 25K going into game week 35. And then, then I can look to push on, and we'll see how those last few game weeks go. But we've seen enough injuries that things can massively change between now and then. So to keep that wild card in the back pocket does still feel valuable.
I have a question just in terms of strategy in general. Like, we are coming down to the wire, right? So let's say we have, what, 7 or 8 game weeks left. And for most of us too, or not most of us, but for plenty of us, technically it's 3 or 4 game weeks left because we're going to wild card in 35, right? So if that's the case, that's where the hesitancy comes for taking hits right now, especially taking a massive -8 hit. I know it's hard to calculate, you know, exactly how the hits will pay off. I'm more comfortable taking hits early in the season, mid-season, you know, chase some value, get the right team, stay with the pack. But yeah, hits are kind of scarier as we come down to the wire. But yeah, what are your thoughts in general in terms of taking hits at this point in time?
I mean, I actually take them more at this time of the season than I do earlier on in the season, because the schedule is so much more, it fluctuates so much more at this point of the season. You have like those doubles and blanks thrown in suddenly mean that you can add fixtures, not only adding players. And we don't have enough free transfers really to chop and change between certain doubles to other doubles. So, and it's also at the early point in the season, a minus four will have a bigger impact on your rank than it does now. So it doesn't feel quite as bad. And we've only got 7 weeks left to get the rank we want. Mm-hmm. In game week four, you think, okay, I won't take the hit because I've got 30 weeks in the season to try and, you know, make up the ground. Whereas now we don't have that luxury, right? We do need to be a little bit aggressive. And I know you say we've got to wait until game week 35 to try and make some of the gains. But I look at our teams for this week. I don't think they're bad. I think our teams look pretty strong for this week. I think there's easily green arrows for non-wildcarders over the next few weeks. So, yeah, I'm not that phased at the moment. I'll probably end up saying this and I'll end up getting a red arrow. But there are a lot of good picks out there at the moment. And there are a lot of good picks which are quite easy to get to. So, yeah, I don't have the same, I suppose, not negativity, but skepticism over the next few weeks. I think it can definitely go well for us.
Yeah, I like it. Alternate perspective than mine. So nice. Let's keep it going. Again, guys, this is more of a deadline stream type pod, and keep the questions coming. I mean, we'll try to, you know, go back to it at the end or maybe save it for a little bit later on, but definitely keep the questions coming. First, this is sort of an updated FPL.team planner. Do you want to explain what we have here, Harry?
Yeah, it's just I think most people have seen it by now. But an update on the schedule that we've got, those doubles in game week 34, the doubles that are predicted in 36 and 37 as well. So, yeah, I mean, you look at Arsenal now, I think a lot of people went, you know, didn't want to buy Arsenal players last week because they had City, but their run between now and game week 35, when a lot of us are going to wildcard, looks really, really nice. You look at some of the others as well, like Liverpool's run continues to look really good. Wolves as well, the other one. Those are the three teams that I look at with the double that have a really nice run, and they're the three that I will be prioritizing with my transfers over the next few weeks.
Okay. Do you want to go defender, mid, forward, or do you want to go more team by team?
Let's do defender, mid, forward. I think as someone in the chat said, taking hits for defenders doesn't feel worth it, and I agree with that. Clean sheets are massively hard to predict at the moment. And there's not loads of consistency in terms of attacking returns there either. So, yeah, focusing on your front seven and just hoping you get lucky with, you know, people wildcarded this week and brought in like a Newcastle defender, a couple of Liverpool defenders at home to Brighton, a few like Horror at home to Luton, and it was Arsenal away at Manchester City and City that kept the clean sheet, right? It is just hard to predict.
I mean, I get that, but the counter to that is some of us are forced to take a hit in order to fund the Salah move.
That's different, right? Yeah. If I had to, like I took a hit in defense, but it freed up money that I needed for a move that I wanted to do. Yeah.
So yeah. On that note, instead of talking about overall defensive assets and apologies for not taking into consideration free hitters in 34, this is the pool of defenders, I would say, that maybe you can hop on in 31 all the way to 34. So the doubling teams in 34 that matter, essentially. I think this is the pool. I mean, I might be missing a player here or two, but I just wanted to get this visual up and then sort of we can discuss, because I'm also in the hunt for potentially a 4.6, 4.7 below or even lower, depending on what moves I make up top defender-wise. So let's say first thing, Arsenal City game, what was your read on this game before we talk about the players?
I mean, I can't lie. It was one of those games that I can completely understand the tactical battle that they went through, but from a neutral watching it, it wasn't the greatest spectacle to watch. Both teams had one clear-cut chance, but it wasn't the best watch. Arsenal, I mean, they kind of got out of the game what they needed to get out of the game. a win was more important for City, I feel, than it was for Arsenal. But yeah, again, they did just look defensively very, very solid.
I really enjoyed the game. Like, I don't know, I was on Twitter, I was seeing a lot of, oh, this is super boring, but you know, I thought it was just a clash of two geniuses, right? And I honestly didn't expect Arsenal to be sitting back that deep. But, you know, when you have the best defense in the league doing a low block, how the hell do you break into that, you know? So it was really cool to see. It was almost like a, what's the term? Unstoppable force meets an immovable object sort of situation. So,
yeah,
it was fun to see. Uh-huh, go ahead.
And City didn't have an answer to it.
Yeah, and really. So, yeah, that brings me to my question of, I mean, we're talking about defenders right now, but Haaland barely touched the ball, you know? And he hasn't been, I mean, we'll get to it when we get to the forwards. Like, I'm getting more and more comfortable with the idea of selling him in 34 for a doubler and try to get to 10, 11 doublers. But, I mean, obviously I'm not going to sell him now, but yeah, he hasn't been looking great, especially with the injury, coupled with the injury as well, so... I'm interested to see how Haaland performs in the next two or three game weeks.
Yeah, I agree. I wonder how much of this is a City problem or a Haaland problem. And I don't necessarily have the answer to that because I don't think they as a team are clicking massively well at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure they know, like Pep knows his strongest attack at the moment. Mm. Foden played wide this game. He played Kovacic, Rodri and De Bruyne all in midfield and Bernardo Silva in there as well. So, yeah, they brought on Grealish and Doku late in the game who were okay, but feels, I mean, the one that I look at is Alvarez, right? He was pretty good for them. He was good enough for them early on in the season and now can't even get a look in. So, yeah, I'm interested to see what they do over the next couple of games. I'm not going to sell Haaland and I'll probably own him for the rest of the season apart from game week 34. But yeah, I'm interested to see. It feels like they're not ticking at the moment, basically, going forward. They haven't scored more than one goal in only one of the last six games or something.
Yeah, we've been seeing this throughout the seasons where there's almost too much rotation, right? I mean, we say that after they won the treble last season, so what do we know? But yeah, you're right. Now also, the fact that Alvaro's on the bench, KDB's like pretty much starting, Grealish looked pretty good, man. Like, I thought Grealish looked fine when he came on. You know, Doku, he could have started. I think he should have started. And as a Foden owner, I'm worried, right? Even though Foden is inevitably probably the best, second, third best player in City the last, like, let's say 10 game weeks, with how much competition they have, like, it doesn't fill me with confidence that he's going to be starting every game, right? So that's a little bit worry for me in terms of City assets.
Yeah, I think we're going off topic, but I don't rate Doku in a Man City shirt. I think he's a talented footballer and he would do well in a team that would fit his play style, but I think he is massively the wrong fit for that left wing for Manchester City. He obviously doesn't love Grealish at the moment. He's not getting very much game time. He's been in and out of injury. So that's why Doku is getting a lot of minutes. But I don't think Doku out on that left wing benefits the likes of Foden, Haaland, De Bruyne. I look at it and if I see Doku starting and I have Haaland in my team, I think it is a weakness and it is definitely a put off for Haaland. I think he's very good as a one-on-one specialist, but I think he's a little bit selfish for that City team. But Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, I have more to add there, but okay, let's move on. Arsenal, I mean, let's go back to the defenders, right? So Arsenal, I mean, zero doubt about it. You want to have double Arsenal defense if you can. You could also argue, go one defender and two up top, but I mean, their defense is just so solid. And it's almost, you know, keep it simple, stupid, as in just have two Arsenal defenders rest of the season. You're good to go. I have Gabriel Saliba. Saliba price point a bit expensive, which is a bit annoying, but it's fine. Talk to me about White, because I know you brought him in this week.
Yeah, so Ben White was my transfer in for Trippier. I could have bought Saliba, actually. I had exact money for Saliba. I decided to go with Ben White. Mm-hmm. I just like Ben White as a short-term punt. I like the attacking threat that he offers. I love the way he links up with Saka. And it's that time of the season where I wanted to do something a little bit different, right? I think Saliba is probably a better hold over 38 game weeks than Ben White is. But looking at the way Ben White's playing at the moment, he had the international break off, so he looks pretty ready to go. So yeah, I also looked at it and I planned my team up until game week 34. And I didn't see myself bringing in another Arsenal attacker. I looked to myself favouring other attackers like Luis Diaz, like Eze. So I was quite happy with to double up on the defence once I realised I could afford it.
You noticed Tomiyasu came in the game, right? Is he a threat?
Yeah, at left back. Mm-hmm. I asked it and I've thought about it. And I don't think Tomiyasu starts games at right back.
Okay.
At the moment, he feels like a backup to Kivior. He might be a 65th, 70th minute sub for Ben White. We've seen that, which I don't mind at all. But I'm not sure I see Ben White missing games. This Luton game midweek is about the only game I look at that I'm concerned about. But he had the whole international break off, so he's probably one of the players that doesn't need a rest. So I think Tomiyasu may start, but I think he might start at left back. Midweek.
I like it a lot, man. I think you have the attacking header center set piece threat in Gabriel, and you know, you have that right side against Luton. They're gonna just Ben White's gonna be running overlaps, underlaps, whatever it may be. So you have the two most attacking assets, I would say, a good combo. Saliba definitely can get a bullet header here and there. But yeah, let's just wrap it up by saying, if you were to bring in Saliba versus White this week for a short term.
I went White.
You went White. Okay.
But you, I would bring in Gabriel over. I'd go Gabriel over both of them, though.
Right. My question was the second. Saliba versus White. You would say White.
I'd go White. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's what I did, so I have to give that answer, right? But yeah.
I think
it's that time of the season to chase it a little bit.
Yeah.
And White has had those returns recently. As I'm saying in the chat, his bonus is slightly better. So yeah.
Okay.
It's just the slight minutes risk, but.
Okay. I'm with you. Okay. Now let's jump to Liverpool, because this is where I need you to almost form a narrative to convince me to go Bradley.
You're not going to get one, unfortunately.
Oh, really? Okay. Then I'm happy to hear the counter to it. But okay, Van Dijk, easy move, locked, but expensive. That's the issue, right? TAA, we just don't know when he's back. Any updates on this?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I mean, so Trent and Alisson are both expected back before game week 34 is the simplest way to put it.
Yeah.
They're both expected to be available for the double.
Okay.
And probably in 33 as well.
Okay. All right. Now we need to talk about Bradley, because I'm seriously considering bringing him in. I almost feel like it's a week late because, yeah, he got 4 points, but in hindsight, he could have gone a lot more in that game, right? There is the benching potential at Sheffield. His XGI over the last 4 game weeks, 6 game weeks, and 7 game weeks. So he's basically started the last 7 Premier League games when I looked into it. I don't think it looks that great. I mean, I was watching this Scoutcast, shout out Scoutcast boys, where they had Bradley's XGI being really high for players under 4 point something. But when I did the data searching, it didn't look great. Am I looking at the wrong things, Harry, or do you know anything about this?
If you look over the course of the season, you include a Chelsea and Bournemouth game where he put up 0.9 XGI combined, whereas there have been a couple of games recently. He's also one of those players that just benefits from eye test over data. Okay. Like, if you watch that game at the weekend, there's a reason he got 2 bonus points and didn't get any returns.
Okay.
He just looked so attacking.
Yeah.
He's one of those players, if I could own anyone for this weekend, for this midweek in defense, he'd be top. Like, okay. He'd be number one.
Okay.
But I just think Trent's going to be back for the double. And I think Bradley and Trent will both start one in the double. Like, that is my thought process at the moment. So he's a great pick for this week, but he's only going to start one. If you only think he's going to start one in the double, I find him a difficult buy in my team at the moment.
Okay, let me convince you on why I'm thinking this guy, okay? So first of all, he has started all seven of the last Liverpool Premier League games. Like, he's missed, I think, one FA Cup game or one of those cup games, but he's started all seven of the last Premier League games, first of all.
He started?
Premier League.
Last seven.
From game week 24 all the way to game week 30, I think he started all of them. Correct me if I'm wrong, but...
They blanked in 26 and 29.
Oh, that is true.
So it's only five games.
Okay, then actually it goes all the way back to 22 then.
And Trent... So 21, he's played 8 minutes off the bench. He started against Chelsea. He got dropped against Arsenal and Burnley when Trent was back. And then in 25, when Trent was injured again, he's played every game since.
So how many games has he started in a row?
Five.
Okay, five. Fine. Five is still pretty good, right? So one of the reasons I was considering him is if I can somehow manage to get him to start the next, let's say, three, Sheffield United, Crystal Palace, I will have an extra transfer in Game Week 34. So by the time we get to Game Week 34, if... it looks like he's going to be starting one or two, then I can just shift him to Van Dijk, for example. So that's one of the things I've been thinking about of why potentially he might not be too bad. If I get lucky, for example, and somehow he starts both games in 34, even better, right? But, I mean, what do you think?
I mean, I think that's fine. If you can afford Van Dijk, like, I'd just go straight there. Mm-hmm.
No, I can't.
But he looks great.
Yeah.
Bradley wasn't available for a couple of those games. Fine. Like, I think he's a good option. I think he's nice and cheap. If you can go straight to Van Dijk, I would definitely do it. Would I buy a Bradley over another 4.2 or less defender, like a Branthwaite, like a Richards, and just hope? The thing is, it's that Crystal Palace game. If I knew he was going to start Sheffield United, Palace, and play one in the double, I'd say fine, I'd take it. But if he doesn't start that Palace game, and let's say he plays Sheffield United, and one in the double and misses the Palace game, that for me is not enough. And we don't know when Trent is going to be back. He might start Palace, he might not. So he's a good buy at his price, right? He's a good buy, but I would definitely try and find money for Van Dijk.
One second, sorry.
I don't know what people are thinking in the chat. Like, are people going, Brad, if you've got Bradley, like 100%, and it's the same with Kelleher as well. If you've got him, 100%, go for it. But I find him a little bit difficult to buy new this week. Okay. That being said, he's probably the best defender for Game Week 31.
Okay, let's push this on then. All right, then talk to me about the Crystal Palace defenders, because... I mean, I've seen the extended highlights. I've seen glimpses here and there, but I mean, have you been watching a lot of these games? I'm being very transparent.
I mean, not massively. I know Munoz has been very good for them. And if you can afford him, he got man of the match again at the weekend. He looks really good. He's 4.5, he's playing wing back. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I really like Munoz. Richards is 3.9, like, I don't massively see loads of clean sheets for them, so I'm not even sure I'd go there. Like, I'd probably buy Bradley over Richards, to be honest. Haven't had this discussion. But Munoz looks like a very nice option. Munoz looks like a very nice option.
Okay. All right, and then we'll go to Aitnori.
Yeah, Munoz versus Aitnori is pretty close.
Yeah.
Aitnori has better fixtures between now and the double, but Munoz probably has a slightly better double. So it kind of depends if you need that defender in 32 and 33. If you do, you go Aitnori. If you don't, you probably go Munoz.
Aitnori, I feel like, is kind of deceiving because he's one of those eye test guys, looks amazing eye test, but his actual attacking return relative to the eye test is not great, right? So
should have scored at the weekend.
Okay, there you go. Plus
massive chance missed.
Yeah. How do you think Wolves are performing right now?
I think they miss a lot of their key attackers, and I think it helped. They are weaker in terms of controlling games. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them, like Cunha and Huang Yi-Chan, are expected back before the double. Mm-hmm. So that will help them. Mm. I think they're probably the best of the cheap teams who double. Okay. Is probably the way I put it. I don't love them, but I prefer them to Palace, Wolves, and Everton. So,
Okay. Let's go to Everton before we assess our favorite. So Everton, I think, is solid defenders, right? Just cheap. You're not going to get much attacking returns, but their XGC is pretty decent. I guess their fixtures are not that great. Newcastle, Burnley, Chelsea, yeah. Nottingham, Liverpool. So I'm not sure there's many clean sheets here. But I know you are considering a keeper here, so
yeah,
is it just a team specific thing?
I don't have the money to go to someone that I'd really want. You kind of need a clean sheet against Burnley and Forest to make buying one of them worthwhile.
Yeah,
and I think a clean sheet in one of them is reasonable. A clean sheet in both is unlikely. But that being said, that Newcastle team are full of injuries.
Yeah,
Gordon suspended. It's a midweek game where we tend to see less goals. Mm-hmm. It's not impossible, but yeah.
Okay.
The fixtures look a little bit rough. You'd have to be able to bench them in like Chelsea away or Newcastle away if you're going to buy them, I think.
Yeah.
In goals different. Uh-huh. In goals different just because of saves though.
Yeah. Ivo Bozic, Wolves need Juan, Cunha, or Neto back. And I kind of agree with him. Like, just not convinced that even though the fixtures look great, Wolves have kind of took a downturn in the last, let's say, 3 or 4 game weeks since all those guys got injured. So, you know, for example, we were super hyped on bringing Huang in, I think, game 26 or 27. And it's kind of gone downhill from there. So
yeah.
I'm not very convinced on the team itself, but I'll proceed with caution here. All right, so we got our Arsenal done. Let's pick between Bradley, Nori, Munoz, and an Everton defender, let's say. What's your rank here?
8 Nori, Munoz, Bradley.
Damn.
Then Everton.
Damn.
But I play FPL with nailed players in my team.
Yeah.
And Bradley is that for the short term, but he's not that for the double at the moment. I think he'll start one in the double, but I'm not sure he'll start both.
So. Okay, well, we'll come back to it when we get to my team, but let's move on to midfield, maybe.
Yeah, so a lot of us looking to sell Salah this week. I had a very easy route with Anthony Gordon getting sent off, so I sold him for Salah. You have a slightly more difficult decision on who to sell for Salah this week. How are you thinking about that at the moment?
Let me put up a really nice chart by FPL Radar. Good friend of mine. I've known him since I first began Twitter as well, and they do a really good job of putting out graphs and work really hard. So shout out to you guys, FPL Radar once again. But this is a good chart of, I think, the players we're targeting is in the upper right quadrant, right? Good underlying, good fixtures. And if you look at the, you know, players there, it's all players we're targeting. So so again, we're going back to the question. Sorry, I lost you there. We're going back to the question of, what is it? Who are we selling for Salah?
Yeah. How are you feeling of who you'll sell for Salah? Because a lot of people are looking at Son.
Yeah.
It's the easiest way to do it. But then you got Foden. You've got some cheaper options in there as well.
Yeah, I think so. Last week I was kind of leaning towards finding a way to sell Son because it would require less hits and I could bring in Darwin in.
Yeah.
I think I could do it for a -4. I don't think I could do it straight swap. So if I could do a straight swap, then definitely I'd be considering that option a lot more. But it would essentially be selling Son to Salah, Watkins to Darwin, and then Richarlison to someone cheaper like an Eze. which I think looks good. But the issue now is that I've been priced out by like 0.1 or something like that. So unfortunately, that route is unavailable at the moment.
Yeah.
The more important thing about how to bring in Salah is not only who you sell, but also like who you're keeping. Because yes, if I bring in Salah for Son, I still have to deal with two assets in the midfield, where midfield is very important right now for points, in Richarlison and Foden, which both are kind of iffy, right? Like Foden looks good, but can get rotated. Richarlison, I feel like he's being protected a lot by Ainge, so I don't even know he's going to start. So that's kind of forcing me into the route of trying to keep Son. And how can you sell Son after that performance, right? Even though he got just a 10-pointer, I think he should have had at least one or two more goals than what he had. So if I could advise somebody today, I would do whatever it takes to keep Salah, Son, and Haaland as your core three players, because they can just... like you saw Salah, right? Like it was terrifying to watch him as a non-owner. And yes, Salah is probably the best FPL asset of all time, but you guys know that Son can do the same at any moment in time. So I don't feel comfortable selling Son right now is the point I'm trying to make. Really wordy here.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think I do what I can to keep Son, and that's what I did this week. I kept Son. I got Salah. I kept Saka. And I would sell Foden before I sell Son.
Agree.
I'd sell Son before I sold Saka. Saka is the one I wouldn't sell. Like, I just wouldn't do Saka to...
Double. Mm-hmm.
Because of the double, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're free hitting 34, then maybe it's slightly different, right? But yeah, Foden I would be the first to sell. Now, the difference for you is Darwin. So I sold Gordon and I didn't get Darwin because I couldn't afford it. So my choice was Son versus Darwin, effectively.
Yeah.
That was the decision I had to make. I plan on owning Darwin for the double still, but I don't plan on buying him. Well, I didn't buy him this week. So it's, in your eyes and the way you're looking at it, is it's basically who do you prefer? Son and a cheaper forward, probably, or a Foden and a Darwin.
Exactly.
Like, that's the decision that you've got to make. And I think Son's a better pick than Darwin. So I kept Son.
Yeah. I mean, we'll get to it when we get to my team. But basically, I think it's a little different from the way you phrased it, because I can still keep, maybe not, maybe I don't have enough money. But I was going to say I could still keep Foden and Son potentially by bringing in Darwin, by selling with Charleston, but it would be for a super, super cheap price point.
Mm-hmm.
Or it would be sell Foden and keep Son, Darwin. Anyways, we have to see official for it. But okay, yeah. You want to talk about forwards?
Just before that, the only other person I think needs a real look at is Luis Diaz. Really nice run of fixtures, looks very nailed at the moment. Double coming up. He's a player I definitely want for the double, and I'm pretty sure I'll own when it does come around.
Wow.
If you've already got Salah and you've got a midfield transfer, like Foden to Luis Diaz looks really nice. I love the idea of Luis Diaz. He looks really good. Could have scored again at the weekend. He's good for bonus as well. Yeah.
So you're
really
going,
like him.
You're going triple attack in 34.
Yeah, damn. Most likely. I just can't get to a defender, and I've already got three doubling defenders now, so there's no real point in me making a transfer there. Yeah. I can't buy a Kelleher because I'm not sure when Alisson's going to be back. So,
yeah.
At the moment, my plan is triple attack.
I love it. I agree with you. I think we have to look at sort of phrases throughout the season. And for majority of the season, Diaz was not an option, right? Like, he wasn't looking like he is this last game. I think he was, you know, he had that whole kidnapping incident. Sorry, I'm mentioning it. You know, there was a lot going on, right? And you can just see that, like, he's super involved. And looks good. people are mentioning Jota, but I almost think Jota maybe even hurts Darwin ahead of Diaz, right? Maybe I'm wrong here, but yeah, Diaz looked really, really good. And you know, fair play to anyone that might have brought him in game week 30, because I know a few did on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah. He looks like he's flying. Yeah, Jota coming back will be a slight thing, but Jota was nailed earlier on in the season when Salah was also out. So we didn't have much choice but to have a front three of Jota, Darwin, Diaz. And I still think that Diaz, Darwin, Salah is their first choice front front line. Jota has a very bad history of injuries. He's had a great impact for Liverpool off the bench. And I just wonder if Klopp will see that as his role for the rest of the season. But I might be wrong. I might be wrong there.
As a late bench booster, this race to the top is being tight is a thing of beauty, right? It just means that we're going to get more guaranteed starts as we approach the last few games. So it's good to see. And everybody looks like they're in form. Like Liverpool look amazing. Arsenal look amazing. I mean, City still always has looked good, right? So yeah, I feel like the potential 35-37 payoff is coming very soon.
Yeah.
Any other mids before we go to Ford to mention?
Not massively. I think that's the key crux of it this week.
Okay. 40 minutes in. So let's get to forwards.
Yeah.
Forwards, there's actually numerous options. Isak, I think Solanke, Haaland right now are probably already locked. So it comes down to that last spot, Isak and
Darwin Muniz, Mateta. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think Solanke is locked if you're not going to free hit 34. If you free hit 34, it changes it quite a lot, actually. Because someone like Isak becomes very popular then. We should probably, the only thing to cover we didn't mention in midfielders is the other Arsenal defenders. Tim has just reminded me. Like, how do you look at Havertz and Odegaard? How do you feel about them?
Midfielders, you mean?
Yeah.
I think it's a real estate play because who do we have in the midfield? We have Salah, Son. Who else is locked? Sorry, I'm blanking here. Palmer. And then Saka. So it's that last spot, right? So it only works if you're only adding an additional Arsenal mid if you decide to go like a Mateta over the likes of Nunes and Nunes and Isak, and go, you know, basically 3-5-2, right? So if that's the case, if you have funds, I still think Foden is better, right? As that fifth midfield spot, or even Diaz.
I prefer Diaz over the Arsenal mids, I agree. But I'm not sure I prefer Foden with Arsenal having the double. With everyone back fit, I would just go Odegaard over Havertz. Havertz is about $1 million cheaper than him, though. And he's been very good recently. But when you've got Jesus back, you've got Partey coming back in, you've got Jorginho playing well, you've got Martinelli being close, it's a very tight and congested schedule.
Yeah, I think that Jesus coming back, even though he played like left back, basically, you know.
But Havertz played 90 again.
Did he?
Against City, yeah. I don't mind him as a differential at 7.2.
I agree.
I would buy I'd buy Luis Diaz first, but I don't mind it.
I don't mind it too. I think Arteta has really protected Havertz since he's come in, right? Even when he had a bad start to the season, because he was fresh, he was like always starting, and there's some trust there that you can see as a fan as well. So I don't think it's bad, but maybe not as threatening as maybe it's just the City game that's playing into my mind, because before that he was doing well, right?
He was doing really well.
Okay, so I guess it comes down to Isak versus Darwin, because Mateta, I think, is a separate category. Between the two, how do you feel?
Oh, if it's between Isak and Darwin, it completely depends. It depends when you're going to play your free hit. Because if you're free hitting in 34, I prefer Isak because he can carry you to the end of the season with his fixtures and his double. But if you're not free hitting 34, it has to be Darwin. I see it as sort of clear as day.
Yeah, that is true. Is there any case where 34 doesn't affect this decision and it's like a like-for-like situation?
I mean, the only situation that would be the case is if you've got, if you're running through between now and the end of the season and you don't have any chips left.
Okay.
In which case, I'd probably go Darwin for the short term and then make the switch. But
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's dictated by chip strategy on that pick. But I think there's a case you have both of them. If you're free hitting 34, I think both of them is very reasonable. Because then you drop Solanke, who you can just get back on your free hit in 34. So Isak's numbers are so good. I do think he'll be weaker without Anthony Gordon in that team.
Yeah.
Tonight. Do you think that makes him weaker? And you look at that Liverpool team going up against Sheffield United. Yeah. Mm. Darwin is probably slight above Isak, unless you're free hitting 34, then Isak goes above him.
Okay, let's go straight to the teams, Harry, and then do a Q&A. Already 45 minutes, wow.
Okay, yep.
Okay, so...
let's do it.
So here's my team. So I haven't made those transfers. I had a early morning start on Monday, and that's the tough part about my time zone. But missed out on the Darwin rise and Salah rise and Watkins fall, so that's like... you know,
yeah.
point one swing already, point two swing already. But Neto, Gabriel, Saliba, Zabarni. In the midfield, Richarlison, Foden, Palmer, Son, Saka. Please ignore the captaincy. Up top, Solanke, Holland. And then on the bench, I've got Watkins, Pedro Porro, and Taylor. So the cash cows here are Watkins, I guess Pedro Porro, and then I'm trying to get rid of one of Richarlison and Foden. So I have a couple routes here, right? So I could do Son to Salah, Son to Salah, Watkins to Darwin, and then I believe Richarlison to, for example, Saliba. Not Saliba, Sarabia, which could fund that.
Is that a minus eight?
That's a minus four. That's a minus four.
Yeah.
I could also do a minus eight where same case scenario, but Foden and Richarlison become Eze and Sarabia once again. Or Foden to Eze and then Pedro Porro down to like a 4.4 and below, I believe. So are you following me? I know it's really complicated.
So you are just, so you said you are just short of doing...
Son, Watkins, Richarlison... to Eze, Salah, and Darwin.
For minus four.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I could do a... So the best case, I think, minus eight would be Watkins...
Could you do Foden to Luis Diaz to free up the money?
No, I can't.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't.
Okay.
So anyway, so that's sort of the... kind of, well, how do I say it? Like the players I kind of want, really, yeah, really want. Like, realistic.
What's your plan if the deadline was now?
The more likely plan, that's the first plan. The more likely plan is Watkins to Mateta, basically just a bench fodder, right? Mm-hmm. Richarlison to Salah. That midfield would be super sick, right? Salah, Foden, Palmer, Son, Saka. I mean, as good
you can
as
do
it
that
gets.
For free.
So that's a minus. That's two free transfers, and then I need to fund Porro down to 4.4 and below. So it that's why I had that like
Bradley.
I was assuming other people had similar dilemmas, right? So
yeah,
it'd be a Bradley. It would be a Aitnori. Actually, I don't think Aitnori. It would be a Munoz.
No, he's 4.6.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can afford Munoz either. He's 4.5.
Yeah. I hate to be just talking about my team, guys, but that's the two routes. And yeah, I'd like to know what you're thinking. What your opinion on it?
The thing is, if you buy Darwin in place of Watkins, you're going to give yourself a benching headache. Right. That doesn't feel like, I suppose not if you go one of the midfielders to a Sarabia, you can just bench him. Yeah. But Darwin looks really nice for this week. There is, of course, a chance that Darwin doesn't start against Sheffield United,
mm-hmm.
that it could be Gakpo. I think it's very unlikely because I think Gakpo has not been at it, but it, you know, it's not impossible. I bought Mateta and I quite like the Mateta pick. The double for Mateta of West Ham at home, Newcastle at home, two defences in absolute pieces at the moment. We saw them at the weekend, right? It was 4-3. I really like Mateta as a pick. So I'd probably do the Mateta route, but I can understand why Darwin this week is so beneficial. Beneficial.
I mean, definitely scares the shit out of me not having Darwin, right? But you can't have him all, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. You can't have them all. I mean, he's probably one of the best forwards in the game for this week. I completely get it. He then does walk into Manchester United away. Depends how you read that fixture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would keep Son. I would do whatever route it is that keeps Son. I think that's more important to me than Darwin.
Are we even playing Mateta if we bring him in?
No, I'm not. He's on my bench.
So are you playing him in 34 potentially?
Yeah.
I see. So he's just there to shift your formation 3-5-2 and then have him in 34. Haaland becomes Darwin, I assume?
Haaland to Darwin.
Got it.
Is the plan. So a few people in the chat are saying Edouard is back, and that is true. But Edouard has also been available previously, under the new manager. Mateta has just played practically every game.
Yeah, I read now, some comments of Crystal Palace fans saying that he's locked up that spot, at least for now.
Yeah. He's played 90 minutes. So they've started some games together, but that was when there were injuries. But since the new manager has come in, he started like every game.
Yeah.
That double just looks really nice.
West Ham, Newcastle.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Son is more important than Darwin for me for the next three, as long as you can buy Darwin in 34.
Yeah. I will say this. I don't think the West Ham game that Spurs have this week is as easy as it looks on the data that we assume XGC's weak in West Ham because once again, it's unstoppable force meets an immovable object. Like West Ham, they just sit back, defend, and look for that counter with Bowen. And Spurs just attack and attack. So it kind of plays into Moyes' hands. And I don't know. Spurs have not been looking that convincing. I mean, the Luton game, they did pretty well. But before that, it hasn't been looking so convincing. So I don't think it's a super high potential scoring game, if you know what I mean.
I mean, those West Ham Spurs games often have a decent amount of goals in them, though.
Mm.
Two teams that are just conceding a lot of chances at the moment. I mean, yeah, it's true. This week alone, Darwin is probably better than Son. Darwin has Sheffield United, but then Son goes into Forest at home, Newcastle away, which I think are two games that massively play into his hands. So, yeah. I'm happy I've kept Son.
Mm. Do you think Foden starts?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Do I think he starts all the next few? No. But do I think he starts Villa? Yes. Villa beat City early on in the season. This is not a game for Pep to go and rotate in.
Yeah. All right.
He can rotate against Palace at the weekend if he wants, or Luton the week after, but Villa is not a game for him to chop and change, I don't think.
Any other angles you see here? I mean, I think most likely Poro down to a 4.4 below, Richarlison, Salah, Watkins, Mateta, and obviously the Darwin thing scares me a lot, but it's a bet willing to take with that midfield. That midfield would look really, really spicy. But I just can't see a different route to bring Darwin in, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, unless you want to take a minus eight.
Unless minus eight, correct.
Yeah. So I suppose you have to decide whether Darwin's worth an extra hit.
Yeah, yeah.
In your mind.
All right, well, 6 hours to think about it. Okay, we have your team up, Harry.
My team is a little bit easier because the transfers have already been made. Trippier left for Ben White. Watkins left for Mateta and Anthony Gordon after his heroics at the weekend, left for Mo Salah. Team looks all right for this week. I've got the power five midfield, it feels like, so I'm pretty happy with that. If I had a spare transfer, I'd do Foden to Luis Diaz this week, but I will not. The only thing I'm considering now is a goalkeeper. If I knew that Alisson wasn't going to be back, I'd go Kelleher, but I'm not sure that's worth it. So maybe it's Pickford, maybe it's Dean Henderson, both with a double, and just hope it pays off between now and the double, because I really don't want to have to play Kaminsky this week away at Arsenal. So I can do Kaminsky to Pickford. I can do Kaminsky to Dean Henderson. I can't afford anyone else. So I'm undecided. Those Newcastle injuries do just make me wonder about going Pickford. It's got Burnley at home next week.
Yeah. I think you have to do it. I think you have to do it.
I have 4.6 for a goalkeeper.
Yeah, which is why you're...
I'm 0.1 short of Neto, which is a shame, but...
You already have three Arsenal.
I couldn't go Raya, yeah. Maybe I should... At the time I made the transfers, maybe I should have considered Raya and then going for a Nori, but it's too late for that now. It's too late for that now. Unless I buy a Sheffield United keeper, but I don't think that's going to happen.
How about a Wolves keeper?
Can't afford him. He's 5 million.
Damn.
So, yeah. There's not much.
Crystal Palace keeper?
Yeah, Henderson. But they play Liverpool and City in 32 and 33.
Oh, yeah. Damn.
Yeah.
Dude, who knows, man? Pickford. He might be the unsung hero of the season.
What do you think?
I don't think.
We all had him earlier on in the season. So that's the only decision I've got left. And the only other thing is... do I start Gusto or Zabanyu? That's the only other decision I've got to make.
What? Isn't Gusto out?
We don't know.
Yeah, I would start him over him then.
Yeah?
Yeah, and just... He's not going to come off the bench, right?
You'd think unlikely, but... I suppose, the two decisions I've got. It's Gusto versus Zabanyu. I did think about, as Roger has said in the chat, just doing Areola to Kelleher. And then just dealing with it. But I realized during this stream that if I do that, I can't. And let's say Kelleher loses his place, he takes up a Liverpool spot.
Yeah.
So I'd have to sell him again to buy Darwin and Diaz.
Yeah. And it's not even about selling him. You just, the power of those three attackers in Liverpool 34 is just way more better. So you don't want to, unnecessary, I feel. And Liverpool defense is not convincing in terms of clean sheets right now.
No, maybe it's true. Gusto, though, is asking. He sat on the bench when he got subbed off and was on the pitch at full time, clapping the fans. That's not someone who's pulled a hamstring, right? But so it feels like it was a precaution, but let's wait and see. It's Pickford. Or it's Johnson. Because if I keep Kaminsky, he has Arsenal away and City away in two of the next three. And I just don't want that. I don't want that in my team at all. So, yeah, I think I'll end up doing it. And at the moment, I'd say Pickford, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you are relying on essentially two fixtures. You have a chance of You basically have a chance of two fixtures for this hit to pay off. Burnley and Nottingham Forest, right?
Yeah, but I suppose I have an extra fixture on Kaminsky as well. Like, the extra fixture is Liverpool, but that's still 1 or 2 points. Like, it's still just slowly playing back the hit. Like, do I think that, let's say Areola doesn't play, do I think Pickford outscores Kaminsky by 4 points between now and game week 35? Probably, the way Luton are defending. It's not very exciting, though.
It is not.
But I feel like
exciting.
I need to do it.
But yeah, I think between the two, I would say Pickford.
Yeah. Yeah, if those Palace fixtures over the next couple were better, maybe I'd go Henderson, but like, I just have to play him against, like, I buy him this week and then in game week 32, City at home, and game week 33, Liverpool away, like, and Bournemouth away this week. So no, yeah. I think it'll be Pickford.
Guys, we forgot to do a single plug this episode, which is really bad. Please do like the like button, or yeah, like the like button. Please do subscribe. Yeah. It really helps us. Much appreciated. I think we should do maybe 10 minutes of Q&A before we end.
Yeah.
Again, sort of deadline stream style, just kind of freestyling in terms of thoughts. I think it helped me too. So appreciate that, Harry. Shall we do 10 minutes of questions? If you have anything, please feel free.
Yeah,
to ask.
Of course. I saw someone in the chat ask about Ortega, and that is interesting. The issue is we don't have an ETA of Edison.
Yeah.
But his next four are Villa, Palace, Luton, Brighton. If I knew that I could get to game week 34 and Ortega played all four, he's probably better than Pickford.
Yeah.
But if I knew that Edison wouldn't play again in April, that's really interesting. That's really interesting.
Sorry, but so who plays for you in 34 then?
I just have a single goalkeeper. Okay. I just have a keeper without a double. But
okay.
I probably won't. But if we knew that he's out at 3.7, it saves a bit of money as well.
It does. It does. Gary says, is that a roommate pranking you, Andy, peering through the blinds? That freaked me out a bit. But no, it's just a window. Let's see.
Yeah, what do you think about Saka's chances of starting?
Like 98%, 99%.
Yeah, it's just he said that he was so tired. And it's Luton.
No, dude. We've heard that Saka's tired for the last 35 years, you know? Like, and he started every single
game. It's true.
And they're in the title race. Like, you can't just say, oh, it's Luton, so I'm going to rest my best player. I'd be very surprised if he gets dropped. I'd be very surprised.
I'd be surprised, but I wouldn't be. I'd say I'd maybe 80% chance he starts.
Yeah, I'm still going to go 95%+ he starts. I mean, was there any specific quotes besides he looked tired? He is tired?
He just said he's tired. And he did sort of hobble off at the end. He said he was fine after the game, right? But
dude, he's been hobbling his whole life.
He has been hobbling all season. Yeah. But that's what I mean. Like, will Arteta not just finally see it as a chance to rest them? Because then they've got so many games that he's just going to have to play them all. This is the only chance he'll have to rest Saka practically between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, but this is an important game too. I don't know.
It is, but do you not think they can beat Luton at home without Saka?
I think they can, but I don't think Arteta's that type of manager that historically hasn't been rotating in cases like this. I mean, wouldn't you say for Arsenal, the most important competition is the Premier League?
Yeah.
And how tight is it right now? Like, you want your best player. He's probably thinking,
yeah,
you guys go
what
out.
What happens if he destroys? What happens if he breaks Saka? Like, what happens if he plays so much that Saka eventually just breaks? Like,
yeah, but
then he has to do the fight.
What happens if he decides to bench Saka and they lose? Like,
Well, then he subs him on.
Yeah. I mean, it's just opinions here, right? I think he starts.
I think he starts, but
yeah,
I don't think he starts enough to consider captaining him.
Yeah, I mean, I probably wouldn't, I mean, the captain is too obvious, right? But I don't think he gets benched, is what I'll say.
But if Saka was nailed, like, and we had no doubt, Saka would be in the captaincy decision at home to Luton. He has to be up there.
I mean, he'd be a great captaincy differential, but you're going against Al-Sala, who could have got 58 points this last game week against Sheffield, you know?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Like, there's no chance you're going to captain Saka over Salah, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
If he gets benched, I'm screwed. Hope he starts.
At least I'm going to have Mateta first sub if he doesn't play.
Yeah, yeah. If he doesn't play, he's probably coming off the bench too, no?
Yeah.
Anyways, any other questions?
Yeah. All the comments are now about Saka.
Go back up a bit. Five more minutes.
Someone asking about Madison. Listening to a few Spurs people talk about Madison, and they've not been very impressed with him. So I would happily sell Madison.
Yeah, happily. I think it's
he's played only 65 minutes in the past two games and only put up 0.5 XGI combined over the two. Yeah, not looking as good.
Yeah, I mean, people forget he had a very, very lengthy mid-season injury, and it's never easy to come back straight into Premier League action. Like, you need a preseason almost after that type of injury. Yeah. So I think there's still lingering stuff. Plus, you're right, it's coupled a couple things, right? Spurs don't look great, and he's definitely playing deeper. Too expensive, man. 8.0 or something, it's too expensive. He should be like a 7.5 max.
Interesting question about the City defense. Gvardiol looks good if their injuries are going to be for a while. He's only 4.8.
Dude, I need to talk about this. Like, what is up with Gvardiol playing left wing? I just do not understand what the hell is going on.
Because they have no one else. They have no one else to play there.
He's not there. He's not supposed to be playing there. His crossing is not good. He's too slow. Like, just play him as a center back. I just don't understand. I guess in FPL terms, it's fine. Like,
yeah, you
know, he's locked
in
out.
In FPL terms, it's great.
It's great, yeah, but I just don't understand how you bring in a stud from the World Cup and you convert him to a left winger, you know? It's weird.
I suddenly thought, watching the game the other day, how Pep could do with João Cancelo.
I know.
Those were the days. 6 million João Cancelo playing left wing every week, keeping clean sheets. Those were the days.
I mean, I respect Pep for, like, a no bullshit type of coach, but
yeah,
you had like the best wing, one of the best, if not the best wing back, left, right, midfield, honestly, striker, like not striker, but you know what I mean? He could play anywhere, right? He was just so good.
So good. He was so good for them. So, yeah.
Yeah, but he did win the treble without him, so.
Yeah, he won the treble without him. Yeah, fine. Okay, maybe Pep knows more than we do on our podcast, but.
Hey, Pep, if you're listening, why did you sell Cancelo? We want him back for FPL.
Why did you sell Cole Palmer as well? They could have done with him. All right. Yeah, Cancelo, I think he's done at City, I agree. Cool.
Maybe one more.
There's a lot of questions about forwards.
Okay.
If you're selling Watkins this week, I think, as we said, Isaac Darwin just depends on if you need them in 34 or not.
Yep.
What do you think about Haaland?
I mean, we discussed.
If you didn't own Haaland now, let's say you don't own him.
Yeah.
Would you buy him, or would you buy Darwin, or would you buy Isaac?
All right. Give me 1 second. So they go Aston Villa, Crystal Palace, Real Madrid, and then 31, 32, and then Luton, and then Real Madrid, and then blank in 34, right?
Yeah.
Oh, he could get potentially rested for that Luton game.
I mean, it's possible, but I think Alvarez will be used to rest someone else, like a De Bruyne, in that fixture rather than resting Haaland.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be monitored in order to be fully ready for the Real Madrid tie.
The spacing is pretty good as well. They play Tuesday, Saturday, Wednesday, which is not bad.
Yeah. Did you know I used to be a huge Madrid fan? I don't know if you knew this.
Did you?
Dude, yeah. I went to the 2014 La Decima Champions League final where Sergio Ramos scored in the 93rd or 4th minute. Yeah, I used to be all about Real Madrid.
Love it. Final one, just on the Chelsea defense. Okay. The only players I'd buy are De Sassi, but didn't he miss the game? No, he played. So I'd go Gusto, De Sassi. Gusto, if he's available, De Sassi or Petrovic are the only ones I'd buy.
How is De Sassi's set piece threat?
Not bad, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, not fantastic. He scored twice this season. But from a Chelsea fan, he's probably our biggest threat from a defender from set pieces.
Sorry. So to answer that Haaland question, you'd still feel uncomfortable selling?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's the best captain in 32 and 33. So.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah. Not used to be. I used to be really into watching all the La Liga games. I'm still a fan, but not like a diehard fan. Oh, God. Okay. I really enjoyed it today. I think it was good fun. Guys, please do like and subscribe. And Harry, you're going to go live today for deadline?
Yeah, I'll have a normal deadline stream at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Okay, good. So guys, do check it out. Support Harry's channel as well. I'm not sure we'll be back for the next deadline because it is this week, but we'll definitely be back next week.
There'll be plenty of scout videos though for you all.
And just a little exciting thing. I'm most likely going to London in a couple of weeks and excited to see my friend Harry, and hopefully we can do maybe a pod together in person. We'll see. We'll see how that works. But
let's see. Let's try and work it out.
Hopefully I can see some of the FPL friends when I do go to London. So thank you always for supporting Burning Questions. It means a lot. Same with FS Scout. It means a lot. Harry, any final words?
No, all good. Good luck this week, everyone.
Okay, guys. See you next week.